Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Smell Podcast. I am your host, Katie Boateng. This week, join me in listening to an interview with Anand Prahlad, based in Mumbai, India. Anand experienced both anosmia and then parosmia due to COVID-19 and has since recovered. He was featured in an article called When COVID-19 Kills the Sense of Smell, Chefs and Sommeliers Lose Something More, which was published for The Wire by Jehan Nizar back in November 2020. This is how I originally learned about Anand, and I reached out to him to connect and learn more about his story. Anand runs the Instagram and YouTube channels for Magic Marinade, which features some truly fantastic-looking food. He describes his videos as ASMR for food. We talk about his experiences with anosmia and parosmia, how it impacted his cooking, his social media pages, and much more. Our interview was recorded in February 2021. Let's listen to the interview. Hi, Anand. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Smell Podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, Katie. I'm doing good.
Awesome. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do for work? Where are you from? And where do you currently live?
Okay. I'm a graphic designer and I live in Bombay. I also run a food blog called Magic Marinade, and I make ASMR food videos there.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. I'll have to make sure I check that out. So you and I connected. I saw an article where you were featured, and we're going to get into this a little bit more, but you were impacted by COVID-19 and you have your own smell disorder story. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? What is your smell disorder story? And did you happen to lose your sense of smell due to COVID-19?
Yes, I did lose my sense of smell due to COVID-19. In fact, the loss of sense of smell is what told me that it was COVID-19, because I had a mild fever and a headache and a dry cough, which are supposed to be pretty classic COVID symptoms. And the thing is, I'd fallen ill about a month ago, so I assumed that that was the first false alarm, and sort of my guard wasn't up in this case, which is why I didn't directly go down the paranoid thought process of thinking this is COVID. But I first realized when I discovered that my coffee wasn't tasting as good as it was. And I've been doing this thing in the last year where I've been trying a new single estate coffee every single month, because there's a lot of new places that have been opening up in India. And I assumed that it was the fault of the coffee, that this particular variety wasn't very good. But it turned out that was sort of like the first indicator that I was starting to lose my sense of smell. And right after that is when I realized that I couldn't smell certain things. Like, I went down to the garden and I remember sniffing at some flowers, and I couldn't register their its scent anymore. And that's how I discovered that I'd lost my sense of smell.
So since that time, when you did lose your sense of smell and you realized that you were experiencing COVID, have you recovered your ability to smell?
Yes, I have. It took about, I would say, 2 weeks for it to sort of come back in its initial capacity. For me, my sense of smell has always been sort of very critical and important to me, because it is my most prominent sense. Between all my senses, that's always something that I've relied on the most. And also in terms of how clearly I can sense things, my sense of smell has always been my number one sense that way. So it did come back, and there was a lot of time between where I still wondered whether it was back to 100% or not. But I think it is back now.
That's awesome. That's fantastic news. So you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but can you go into more detail about the Instagram page that you run, Magic Marinade? Do you consider yourself as a chef?
I try not to use that word, because the thing is that I'm not trained to be a chef. It started off as a, I would say, I mean, sustenance. I started, I remember when the previous recession hit us, I remember there were weeks where I had to survive on pretty much just 500 rupees. That's about, in today's conversion, around $7 for a whole week. And the only way you can sort of manage on such a tiny budget is if you cook your own food. So that's how I started cooking my own things, and then eventually I started to get experimental. I've never really had a phobia of the kitchen. I've sort of been baking cakes with my mother since I was 5 years old. So it's something that I've always been interested in. And that's how I started cooking new things. And then I started taking pictures of these things that I was cooking and putting it up on Instagram. And so that's how, and eventually I decided to make a separate Instagram for my personal one. And that's how Magic Marinade happened. And in the course of the last year, I decided, it's always been on my mind to sort of shoot videos of what I've been cooking. And I started doing that almost pretty much exactly a year ago.
That's fantastic. Well, just kind of scrolling through the pictures that you have on your page, the food looks phenomenal. So it looks like you have trained yourself well and are especially good at taking pictures of the food that you've created. So I'll definitely make sure to include a link to that Instagram page in the episode notes for when this podcast comes out.
Thank you.
Yeah, so another thing that you kind of mentioned is that you lost your sense of smell. You realized it because of an experience with your coffee. You've since recovered, but do you think that experiencing smell loss has impacted your relationship with food and eating now that you have it back?
The thing is that I think my sense of smell has always had an impact on my food and eating in a way. I think that's sort of. They sort of go together. So I didn't lose my sense of taste. I could still taste things, but that's supposed to be another symptom of COVID, but it wasn't so in this case. And I do remember I was shooting up a video for a chocolate souffle that particular week when it was, I think, when I was at my peak state of completely having lost my sense of smell. And even though I was following a recipe, I kept making mistakes. So it felt like having lost my sense of smell put me in a state where I wasn't making the right kind of decisions that I would instinctively do. Even though when you're following a recipe, it's just literally step by step by step. So usually when you're talking about cooking and a sense of smell, you would think that it'll result in, adding too much of an ingredient or too little of an ingredient, or sort of creating an imbalance. But I found that it was more of a mental thing where I wasn't in a state of complete clarity where I would make the right decision. For example, in this case, when I was making a souffle, you're supposed to sort of butter the ramekin or whatever container you're using, and dust it with either sugar or anything that'll sort of help the souffle rise. It sort of acts like a almost like the way ball bearings do to sort of help it vertically rise. And I was using cocoa. And what was happening with cocoa was that it was causing the batter to sort of stick to the edges and sort of, instead of rising vertically, like almost like an extrusion, it was sort of doming up and tearing. And it was just a basic decision to sort of switch out the cocoa and use caster sugar instead. But I ended up having to shoot that three times, two times. I made the mistake and it didn't turn out right. And the third time I finally switched over to sugar and it worked.
So it sounds like you almost didn't trust your instincts as much.
I would say it put me in a, I felt like I was in a haze, a sort of like a cloud where, I mean, I guess it's like visually you would equate it to a fog where you can't see clearly. But it was, I would say it was like an olfactory equivalent of that.
That's an interesting perspective. So, when you were recovering your sense of smell, and maybe even now, did you happen to experience any parosmia or distorted smells?
The way I experienced it was, if I were to equate it in terms of sound, it felt like my initial perceptions were at a very, very low volume. Like I could just hear or smell the hint of a particular of scent. So what I would do every morning was I would wake up every morning, get out of bed, and go sniff the lime and vanilla in my kitchen, because I know what vanilla smells like and I know what lime smells like. And so it was almost like a daily practice for a whole week that I would go and do this to see if it had come back. There was a time where I did think or wonder whether I was being paranoid, in the sense that where I could smell something, but I wasn't sure if it was my mind playing tricks on me, saying, that this is, what a lime is supposed to smell like. So it was sort of creating this, like there's this phantom limb syndrome. It was creating this phantom scent in my mind, where it sort of it made me think that there is a lime in my hand, so therefore this is a smell that you should be experiencing. It took some time further beyond that for me to reach the point where I was completely certain that what I was smelling was literally what I was smelling. But that's about all I could say in terms of abnormality. I would say it didn't distort. It felt like I was sensing it in like very low volumes, and then slowly that volume and intensity increased.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense to me. So, another thing that comes up for me that I like to ask people is, although you have since recovered your sense of smell, what was the experience like for you sharing with others that you were experiencing anosmia? Did you happen to share it with other people, or did you keep it to yourself mostly?
I did share the fact with family and close friends. Most of the people who know me well know the fact that I'm sort of extremely attuned to my sense of smell, because I'm the sort who, when we are out, I like sniff the air and say, "Do you smell that in the air?" And they'll sniff and they say no, but in like a few minutes or seconds, they'd be able to catch the scent in the air and say, "Okay, well, I smell it in the air now." Like, whether it's the smell of, like I can smell my neighbors cooking. Sometimes I can smell, this is going to sound weird, I can smell when my neighbor is showering, because the smell of their particular soap is so potent that I can like smell it in the air. And so it's always been a characteristic of me, where my friends know that it is, that my sense of smell is something that is something that I've always, it's always on and it's always working. And I think that, I don't think my sense of smell is more developed than others. I know that my grandmother had like a very a keen sense of smell, and she, at one point, I remember talking to her and her saying that I'd inherited my sense of smell from her. But I do think that it's also about a matter of perception, where it's just one of those senses that tend to not be talked about much. And not sort of, so I believe that the hardware exists within all of us, but the software of processing what we are smelling and then characterizing it as this or that isn't, I think it's sort of like it's sort of lost over time as we grow up.
No, that makes sense. So now that you have experienced smell loss and then you've experienced recovering it, what do you want people who do not have a smell disorder to know about what it was like for you having one?
I do remember it being quite disorienting. And like you said, I mean, you don't realize its value until you've sort of missed it. In my case, I think it was doubly so, because it's always been a sense that I've focused on or felt strongly about. And I would say, literally, not to sound like a cliche of so stop and smell the roses, but it is how we perceive them. We perceive the world through our senses. And I think our sense of smell is a highly underrated sense that ties to memory and it ties to emotion. And I would say it's something that we ought to think, or rather be conscious about a little more. Curiously, as an outcome of this, I don't drink much. I'm like a social drinker, but the loss of smell turned me into a whiskey enthusiast, because whiskey appreciation is one of those things where it's completely about putting your olfactory senses to use, to sort of to sniff something and like break it down into the kind of but break it down to the kind of olfactory profiles to say, this is, I smell vanilla, I smell this, I smell that. And to do that as a group experience where I remember I had somebody over and we were discussing this particular whiskey, and she said that this smell reminds me of a barrel house that I visited in Europe. And now that's like a shared experience that it sort of elevates the kind of perception of a certain thing when you sort of have the memories of somebody else tying in with like an olfactory experiment in a way.
Yeah, that's interesting. Another thing that I'm curious about, I've done podcast interviews with people from all over the world. And so one thing that I like to ask as well is, do you know of any kind of smell and taste disorder associations in India or in your area in particular?
No, I don't think I've come across any such entity in India, no.
And another question that I have for you is, have you ever met anyone else in person who's also suffered with a smell disorder?
I have to think about it, but no, nobody off the top of my head. And the thing is that I think that even if somebody had a smell disorder, I somehow think that it's possible that I might have, but I think it's one of those things that people don't really talk about much and end up therefore going undisclosed entirely. Maybe not even out of choice, but just that it's not as important to, I would say, most as it is to some.
Yeah. You said it earlier when you were talking, but it's definitely an underappreciated sense. So
yeah, definitely.
Great. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with listeners?
I would say, no, I mean, I would say that's about it. But primarily about, I do think that the sense of smell is a relatively underrated sense amongst all our senses. And one way to sort of actually make it sort of, to put it to great use is through cooking. And I think that's one great thing about cooking in general, that it involves all your senses. You have to look at what you're cooking, and the presentation of what you cook is what makes it look even more appealing. And the process of both while you're creating something and also when you're consuming something, it is your sense of smell that makes that entire process that much more pleasurable and that much more interesting and stimulating in a way. So I would say, if there's any sort of takeaway, I would say it is to sort of not relegate the sense of smell to the background as it tends to be these days, but to be more conscious of it and register its value and importance in the way we sort of absorb and consume the world around us.
I think that's really good advice. So Anand, how can listeners get connected with you on social media?
On Instagram, I'm Magic Marinade. That's MagicMarinade. And also on YouTube. And on YouTube, I've been posting these recipe videos of various things. I've been cooking up everything from sweet to savory. And it's also, the whole point with ASMR is that it's entirely about the sounds of cooking, like the sound of sugar dripping, of sizzling frying pans and things like that. So it is no talking, there's no sort of instruction track or anything like that. It's just the sounds and sights of cooking, basically. So yeah, that's it.
That's actually quite interesting that your videos do focus on the senses, since you experienced loss of one of your senses. I just find that's interesting that the videos would be like ASMR related. So I'll definitely make sure that I include links to both the Instagram and the YouTube pages. And thank you again. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story with all of us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you to Anand for coming on the podcast and sharing his story with us. If you'd like to read the article I originally found him in, it'll be linked in the show notes. Also, make sure to check out both his Instagram and YouTube pages for Magic Marinade. His videos feature some amazing looking foods, and watching them is very relaxing. The Smell and Taste Association of North America, or STANA, is the first patient organization focused on smell and taste disorders in the USA. To find out more, visit STANA's website online at www.thestana.org. We've raised enough initial funds to start the process of establishing as a 501c3 organization, so thank you to everyone who has donated so far. We are still raising funds to help pay for startup costs, so if you'd like to help, you will find the fundraising website online via GoFundMe. Link to donate will be in the episode notes. For any questions, or if you'd like to get involved, please visit the website or email us directly at info@thestana.org. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast if you listen using iTunes. Reviews are helpful because they allow others to find the podcast. And if you'd like to financially support the show, you can do so by clicking on that link in the episode notes. I appreciate your support. And as always, a huge thank you to everyone who currently contributes to the show, because your generosity is what makes this podcast continue to be possible. Until next time, stay safe and have a great day.